Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Cathal Friel joins us now. Cathal is an experienced entrepreneur based in Ireland. He's got a good track record with the small cap space, and he is the founder of European Green Transition. And there's been some news from European Green Transition this morning. Cathal, you're stepping into the non-executive chairman role at the company. Tell us more.
Yeah, Alistair, thank you very much for having me. And despite living with a family in Dublin, I do spend 2 days a week, have a flat for a long number of years down in Catherine's Dock. So and I also claim to hold both an Irish passport and English passport. So I'm a bit of a chameleon that can play the Irish card, but also play the UK card in these unusual times. And on that, European Green would have been my fifth IPO name. I'm a huge believer. I love the AIM market in London. The four previous ones, I think we did reasonably well for our investors and made them money. I think when it comes to the AIM market, it's important. It's a small, fast-growing developing market. So I'll talk more about that in a minute, but I always think you don't buy AIM shares, tuck them away, and forget about them. That's what you do with the large caps, such as the big pharmas and the big whatever. You forget about them. But I think the whole idea, and that's where we're going on AIM, is that you trade these shares because, for instance, I've now stepped down from the board of, or I'm in the process of stepping down from the founder chairperson of HVivo, formerly called Open Orphan. We would have IPO'd that in 2019, June 2019 at 5p. And again, talk about that volatility in the share prices. People didn't invest in that for their pension fund. We always encourage active trading. Within 18 months, 2 years, had gone all the way up to 48p. So that was a pretty good return. It's not something you would look for the big companies you took away. It did come right back down again over a year or two. And then last summer, I always said I was on a time that I wanted to do more companies. After I'd IPO European Green, I decided to sold half my HVivo stake in February at 29p. And then midsummer, I sold the balance at 29p, which I thought was a good price. And a lot of my, say, backer or followers would have left that stage. HVivo has come down quite a bit since. But that was only in recent months. It did stay up, even increased after I sold my stake. But the reason I mention that takes us then to EGT. I think the whole thing with AIM, you can get 4x, 5x or more, as in HVivo. People, if you came in at IPO and exited at the peak, you would have got pretty close to 10x. You won't get that with the large cap. So every investor needs to be careful. You need a mixture for long-term savings. We need to have a cash bills, treasuries, but also large caps. But then to get the juice in your portfolio, you do need to invest in the AIM where you get the potential of this 4 or 5X. So yeah, look, HVivo was built on a series of acquisitions. We acquired Venn, massively distressed, 2 million market cap in 2019. Then we acquired HVivo. which we end up renaming the group Pitch Fever. Anyway, massively distressed in 2019. And then earlier this year, this has probably delayed my stepping down from Pitch Fever, was we acquired a German company, CRS, at about a quarter, we believe, is the real price required for 10 million. This is Pitch Fever, when in actual fact, the normalized price of that company is about 40 million, again, in my opinion. So now, having time, I'm only chairman of one other company, that's Poolbag. I'm also the founder chairman, but it was difficult being helping to manage three public companies. Two I can manage, I think. And European Green, yes, a lot more time now to focus on it. I would also like to thank Daniel, our current chairman, who stepped into the role last summer after the IPO. And then, let's say, kept the seat warm for me when the plan was when I got time, when I extracted myself from HVB this time. So, yeah. So, look, I'm really excited. I think it'll be good news for our shareholders. And, yeah, look, let's see where it takes us. The plan would be very M&A focused for the year or two ahead.
Yeah. So, Daniel, you mentioned there, staying on the board, isn't he?
Yeah, correct. Daniel, we've known Daniel for a long number of years. He's based in Sweden. He would know the rare earth assets very well and the other copper assets. So, yes, great. Daniel will be remaining with the board while I get, let's say, a bit more active as a chairman. My background says M&A. So we did say at the IPO that European Green would be M&A focused.
Yeah, so on that, tell us your thoughts about the company's progression to date and what type of deals you're looking for.
Yeah, Alistair, as we said at the IPO, European Green was put together as an M&A focused vehicle. We also said we weren't a mining company. We did have some mining assets. We said at the IPO, we raised over close to 6.5 million at the IPO. I'm glad to say, to the present day, we have the large bulk of that money still on our balance sheet. European Green, we like keeping overheads down. We only have 3 staff. So that meant the bulk of the cash, we spent less than 10% of the funds raised on the mining assets. We made very clear at IPO, we're not a mining company. We're a company, an M&A focused company. And we were going to be focusing on companies that have good revenue and ability to bolt a number of them together. At the same time, our Swedish asset, particularly our rare earth asset, is, as we know, nobody can have a conversation these days. I mentioned the T word being the Trump word. And we know he's very much focused on rare earths, and suddenly the whole world knows about rare earths. So, yes, having the Ahlstrom asset, we made it clear. We spent a small amount of money on it last summer. We did drill it out. Aiden, our CEO, spent a good bit of last summer up in Sweden. So we have an asset now ready the market is looking for. They're looking at Ukraine. They're looking at all sorts of places of rare earths. But Sweden is a very well-developed country for mining assets, and it's right beside a railroad. So we're very optimistic we will monetize that asset in the months ahead. We're not going to spend any more shareholders' money on it. I am the largest shareholder. I'm always very conscious. My money and shareholders' money, we're all the same. We're very sensitive not losing it. I have got close on 20%, but I think our shareholder money will be very much spent on looking for now distressed assets. That's really my core skill. I'm an M&A person. I can find distressed assets. We've done that very successfully and Open Orphan, now called HVivo, rolled up a number of stressed assets. Prior to that, we did that very successfully on with Amrit. We bought a number of distressed assets. And I'd say the whole idea is build them up and create a real company. The real focus will be something that's not requiring large capex. I think we'll all get a bit worried with the current market and no more mention the T word, but that has thrown up volatility. It means that companies like European Green that's sitting on a good few million, like real millions in cash, with a minimal overheads and no capex, were ideally positioned to pick up some of these distressed assets. And look, just last week, I was in the Midlands of England, where we looked at a number of really, really interesting assets, but heavily distressed because we know it's a really difficult market for raising money. So that's, I think, where we came in. We have a group around this European Green that we can move very fast and use our cash very wisely.
So in the context of the distressed assets, which you referred to just there, what should we expect from European Green going forward? Are you talking about distressed assets in the green transition space here?
I would say, everything revolves about where this T word is these days, and not to dwell too much on it. But yeah, look, 18 months ago, 2 years ago, we started funding these assets. The green economy was very the focus. But we did say it very clearly at the IPO in May last year, we were looking at all sorts of assets. Yes, the green economy would have strong relevance. It's in the name, but it doesn't necessarily have to be purely the green economy. I think my core skill, I think what investors want to see is a return on their investment. Say people invest in AIM, in small cap companies, not for compound 10, 12, 15%. You go and buy Pfizer, you go and buy any of the large companies, Facebook, Google, for that, for your steady, consistent income. You invest in AIM companies for 3 to 5x over a number of short number of years. So the focus is going to be M&A. Yes, we'll keep our weather eye on some of the green, but I think the real assets were things that we can bolt together that come with revenue that we can fix. I think that's where people invest in companies I get involved in. They need turning around. I'd say I have 25 years now, I'm feeling old, of pure M&A experience across all our companies. I was an M&A banker for 10 years prior to that as well. So yeah, so I think the focus will be on picking up assets, mainly using equity, not wasting too much of our cash. We don't like raising funds either, because every time you raise funds, you dilute existing shareholders. Using the equity, trying to pick them up cheap, paying on long earnouts that people are selling. And usually stressed assets, it's a buyer's market. And particularly what's gone on in the market in recent weeks, it's thrown up a lot of opportunities. So yeah, I'm very excited to work closely with the very small team. Say we have only 3 full-time staff within. And we don't, be honest with you, we don't intend increasing that headcount whatsoever. We'll keep it really tight.
Are there any particular items of news flow that investors should be looking out for in the coming months?
I think, look, we'll be active. As I mentioned, there's a lot of worldwide interest at the moment in rare earths. So, yeah, hopefully there'll be some news flow around our mining assets. We say that's monetizing those. And then the near-term news will be, look, I say we have been in the Midlands several times in recent weeks and months looking at assets where we can pick things up. So hopefully now I've got a bit more time and working closely with the team, we will be hopefully coming to the market and announcing that we have completed a number of deals and driving European green upwards and onwards and hopefully following that trajectory. I'm not saying we're going to take the likes of OpenOrf went from 5p to 48p, but certainly we would like to see a couple of multiples uplifting our share price when we get those assets into the company.
Interesting times. Thanks for joining us and talking us through that today, Cathal Friel.
Alistair, thank you very much and look forward to keeping in touch going forward.
Excellent. Thanks a lot.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Pro Savings Days are back at Lowe's. MyLowe's Pro Rewards members save even more with limited-time doorbuster deals. Save $5 on 24-count Contractor's Choice 42-gallon trash bags, now just $14.78. Plus, get your choice select DeWalt Elite Series saw blades for $9.98. Not a Pro Rewards member? Join for free today at Lowe's. Valid through 9/17. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,